Likewise, also the husband hath no power of his own body, but the wife defraudeth not one the other, except be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. Can you imagine what scripture is saying? You must realize what you are going to. Bible says that once you get married, you don't own your body. That's serious something. Amen. I don't know how you read it, but for me, that is serious. And it's God's word. Look at verse 33. He says, he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. That's what you are going into. To please her. To please him. So you can't just be saying, I've always done my own thing. I will do my own thing. I'm a man. The Bible says, you have to please her. But some people don't know this is part of what they're going into. They don't know. So that's why when their wife asks them something, they begin to throw tantrums. They begin to shout. They begin to use all kinds of abusive words because he or she does not have a knowledge of what they are both going into. And I think it's important to know that. Know what you're going into. What does marriage entail? What is the education that I require to make marriage work? What do I need to know to make marriage successful? What do I need to put in place to enjoy my marriage? And these are some of the things you see in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. You see how Paul sufficiently sits and begins to speak a lot about marriage. He says from verse 21, he talks about submitting yourselves to one another. He now says the wife to submit. He talks about the husband loving. And he now begins to say, we are one body. Look at what he says in verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. The two of them. Marriage is supposed to create oneness. That's what you are going into. And I was speaking to a couple not too long ago, and the wife was complaining about the man, blah, 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 blah. And then the wife said, oh, you know that, you know, this is always so engrossed with his business. And the man now said, and you see, this business I'm engrossed with, every time I'm in, myself and my wife are having issues, my work will just have K-leg. Things will not just work. Pastor, tell her to free me. I say, you don't know what you entered. He says the two of them are one flesh. So when you are quarreling with your leg, for instance, you are quarreling with your leg, you hit your leg, you incapacitate your leg. No matter what idea you have in your head, you know you can't make progress. Because you have incapacitated yourself. So what you are going into is oneness. And you need to know. Amen. You need to know. If I give my brother here now a ticket to, let's say, the U.S. I say, look, you have a visa. I'm giving you a ticket to the U.S. And I give it to my brother. Now you'll be traveling. Today is Friday, Thursday. You'll be traveling on Monday. What is one of the things he will do? He will do what? I didn't hear you. What will you do that you are the one involved? You will prepare. Maybe the ticket is returning maybe 2 weeks or 3 weeks. But you will prepare. But what we see is a journey of a lifetime, which is according to what we should do as believers. A lot of folks don't prepare. They don't prepare. Apart from fixing eyelashes, they don't prepare. Apart from buying a new tuxedo, they don't prepare. Apart from practicing what they will dance at the batch if, they don't prepare. Oh boy, it's me. That's what some people prepare for. No, it's a serious journey. It is. It's a serious journey. And you must know what it entails. I asked some couples recently who are newly married, I said to them, what is it that you have encountered that you feel like, man, I need to just go back? I don't want to do again. One said that, honestly, I did not have to be given account of everywhere I go to. That, my dear, where are you? I said, Pastor, nobody always asks me that kind of question, no? I go, I come. Free pass, free come. All of a sudden, somebody will be calling me, my dear, how are you? How was your day? So where are you now? And that's what you are into. That's what you are entering into. No, I don't want anybody asking that kind of question. Somebody cannot love you and not ask you that kind of question. You must know what you are getting into. Bible says, which man wants to take a journey will not do what? Sit down, first of all, and count the costs. Praise God. So it's not just, this is the dance I've been believing God for. I must dance it before it goes out of vogue. So I have to plan my wedding while the dance is still in vogue. No. The dance will go. The way of every dance, it will go. Praise God. So we must have knowledge. And you know, that's why a lot of people, you know, I had a couple I was speaking with, and, you know, the husband was telling me, any small thing, the wife will say, I'm going. The man will say, what are we? Don't go anywhere. What? So one day, she said, I'm going. The man did not even say anything. She said, I'm going. He was not telling me, he said, the man did not say anything. So she grabbed the two children. One was maybe like 8, the other one was like 5. He grabbed the two children and said, I'm taking them, I'm going. The boy said, Mommy, I'm not going with you. She said, she now faced that thing. She didn't say she was going again. She was saying, you have become very disobedient. It was the husband that was telling me. He said, you see, when you don't know what you are going to, that's why when any small thing, you say, I'm going. Where are you going? Even your room at home, they've given it out. Where are you going? Let's know what we are going into. It's a covenant relationship. It's serious business. If you don't know, that's why you are jumping from one babe to the other. Jumping from one babe, this babe. You have one babe in school. You have one babe in church area. You have one babe in your own house. You don't understand. Don't split your soul and let the devil make a mincemeat of you. What we are going into is important. We must have requisite knowledge of it. So I've said, we must know, have the knowledge of God, knowledge of ourselves, knowledge of what we are going into. The fourth thing I want to say before I begin to round this off, we must have knowledge of the society we are in. Look at Romans 12 and verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 and 2. Anybody could please read for me? Romans 12 from verse 1 and 2. Hallelujah. There's a translation that says, don't be squeezed into this mold of this world. Listen, people, there is a system of this world. There is a pattern of this world. And the system of this world is always contrary to the system of God. The pattern of this world is always, not sometimes, always contrary to the pattern of God. A lot of people, that's why I say to people, because marriage originated from the mind of God, God is the one that knows how we have to deal in it. It's not society. Society has evolved to say a man and a man can get married. A woman and a woman can get married. Society says, if you don't like him, you can walk away. Jesus said to them in Matthew chapter 19, the reason why God allowed you to divorce was because the hardness of your heart. It wasn't what God desired. Today, they say it's so cheap to get divorced in certain parts of this world. So cheap. There's a system of the world, and there's a system of God. And the system of the world is contrary. Look at James chapter 4. He says, friendship with the world is enmity with God. James chapter 4 verse 4. He says in 1 John chapter 2 verse 15, he that loves the world, he says, is an enemy of God.
So you must know that, look, when people, I say, you can't learn about successful marriage by watching Hollywood or Nollywood or Bollywood. None of those woods can tell you what to do when it comes to marital issues. It will show you the system of the world.
You know, there's this thing that has been trending on Twitter past few days. Sorry? No, the one about, can you marry a man that's earning 50,000? Have you ever seen that? There's been a lot of talk about it. Can you marry a man that's earning 50,000 now? So people are saying all sorts of things about it. The starting point is not the 50,000 naira, sir. Because a man that is earning 50,000 naira, haven't you seen people who have, I knew somebody who finished school together in 1998, first class economics. When I had gotten a job, I didn't have a first class. I met him on the street of Broad Street. He was still looking for a job. I had gotten a job, I had a 2-2. He was still looking for, then they do him, whatever. He hadn't gotten a job. So somebody meets him at that point and says, I can't marry you, you don't have a job. And a week or two after, UN calls him. You might say, I was just trying to play with you. The system of this world. Am I encouraging people to be responsible? By no means. But I'm saying we don't judge like the world judges. You don't decide that because he's not earning, I'm not doing Surulereo. It's a long show go. He's not earning 500K. Please. Even as a student, I know how much my pocket money was. It's 50,000. Oh, what can he? Is it my human hair that 50,000 can buy? I knew this couple. They've been married now for about 10 years. And when what I just said now, when they got married, she just knew that this was the man. When he came, her pocket money, the guy's salary when they first got married, the babe's pocket money, when she was in Babcock. That's the one in Shagamu, Abi. Babcock, when she was in Babcock, Elishon. Sorry, is that close to themselves, Abi? You see this woman of God now. As somebody will be spoiling your message, you'll be putting Elishon inside Babcock. Her pocket money when she was in school was what the man was earning when they got married. And then she knew God wanted her to marry him. She knew God wanted her. This was the person God asked her to marry. But today, they are driving Prado, brand new Prado. The woman is driving Venza that he bought for her. If you begin, no, we're not judging it by those things. But I'm saying, if she concluded at that time, after school pocket money, la mofibe. I've said that to say you must have knowledge of the fact that we are not of this world. Well, Pastor, are you saying somebody will just come and say, I'm earning shilekan, and then I should marry the person? That's not what I'm saying. But see, you don't judge that, because somebody can be earning so much today and you marry the person and he can lose his job tomorrow. Doesn't it happen? There are people, it was in the course of wedding. I remember my elder sister, the husband was working in a bank several years ago, I think 1990. When they were planning the wedding, 1990, the man was working in a bank, non-bank, one of the new banks then. And we were planning wedding. We didn't know. We just come after wedding. What's happening to these people? A few weeks before the wedding, he lost his job. But they behaved as if everything was fine. So they carried on and did everything. It was after the wedding, the whole thing showed. It was as if, how can you move from that point down? So I'm saying to us, that the basis of our relationship, the knowledge we must have, is not the knowledge from people of the world. It's not the knowledge of the society around us. We must know that our society, we mustn't be squeezed into that mold. It must not be what will influence us. Satan is the god of this world. Satan is the one that influences this. A lot of that's why we are, as believers, we are trying to ensure that we take over the culture, take over education, take over the media.
But what is being projected from those platforms right now glorifies Satan more than it glorifies God. So if that's where you are taking your cue from, you won't get this velocity that we're talking about. You won't enjoy. You would always have a basis of comparison. You would always be in strife. You would always be unhappy. Amen. I'm sure a couple of weeks ago, there's a woman that they arrested for going to claim somebody's house. Social media. What for? Because society is poor. No, that's not how a child of God lives. And why am I saying this thing so simply today? Because a lot of us here are trying to start, some of you that are married, some of you that are married. It's a foundational period. Don't let the societal pressure put you in the wrong place. You know, one of the things I preach these days, and if I knew it as much as I knew, that's what I would have done too. If you can afford to go ahead, do a big wedding. But you know, like they say, their wedding, your marriage. You know, that's always what happens. I feel for people when I go for, especially Yoruba traditional wedding. Just see the two of them sitting like this looking. It's the families that will be discussing and talking. The woman will be sweating, they'll be fanning her. All her makeup will be falling away. The foundation that was not laid by God will now be coming down. You'll now be wondering what's happening. The guy has removed his filler. He's blowing himself because they are not even involved. And yet they have spent so much money. Let's tell people, don't kill yourself. Honestly, how many people are married here? If you're married, let me see your hand. Happily married. Be honest with yourself. All this stress, was it worth it? Be honest with yourself. You go up and down. At the end of the day, the real thing your marriage needs, you discover that it's not those things. It's not those things. I'm telling you, it's not those things. That's why I'm saying invest in the real thing. Commit to the real thing. Learn what it takes in the real thing. You know why David said he had girded me with strength? In the Orient, in that part of the world, the garments they used to wear, the kind of dress they wear, is flowing dresses. And so David was saying, what God did for me to have speed was he guarded me. It was a literal term. It was as if I had a belt on that packed my clothes together so that when I'm running, I'm not impeded. So when he was using those terms, he wasn't just using those terms hanging there. He was using them actually and practically to say, look, if I'm going to have speed, there must not be encumbrances. That's why he guarded me with strength. The way if your trouser is falling down, how far can you run? You'll be pulling like this and be running, pulling like that. But once you have a proper belt on, you know you can focus on your taking off. So I'm saying this knowledge, when you have knowledge that God is the one that is the originator of marriage, you understand and know yourselves. If you have this requisite knowledge, you will discover that you can move better. You can focus better. You can go farther. Satan is the god of this world. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us from verse 3. Tells us. The prince and the power of the air. The spirit that walks in the children of disobedience. You must know that, look, whenever society begins to pull you, and let me tell you this as I begin a round off. Let me say this to you. And I say this honestly and sincerely. Don't marry because of anybody. If you marry because of anybody, honestly, that person will not be there. When your eye and your nose will be smelling things, you will not be there. You know what they will be saying to you? We are praying along. That's what they'll be telling you. We are praying along. Don't worry. It is well. You know some it is well. It's as if they are cursing you. After you have said everything, that's paining, it is well. You not be wondering, did you hear what I just said? Don't let anybody, pastor, bishop, reverend, archbishop, archpope, anybody, don't let anybody push you into marrying somebody. The best anybody can do for you is that you say, look, I sense in my heart this person. Please, ma. Please, sir. Help me also check. Let the person now come. Ah, that's what I also says. Okay, sir, thank you. I will go. And don't let anybody say, I would have married this person if not for that person. The person will not be there. you will end up making your life miserable and making somebody else's life miserable. Whatever decision you make, make sure it is one you can take full responsibility for. And I said yes, because all my friends were saying he's the right person. Your friends will go. You will come to apocalypsis. You come to a revelation. That, Asheba Elosheri. That's what will happen. So you have to have a knowledge of the society. Don't be squeezed into the mold of this society. Don't allow the system of this world. When we allow the world or society to be any influence, you know, so I say, you know, people can lie. People can lie. So you have to be, people can tell you lies. During my own wedding, if you know what, if you go and see the album, you will cry. But they will use their mouth to put you under pressure. To go and borrow money to do what you don't have to do. Live within your means. I may be wrong. That's why I'm putting up this caveat. I may be wrong, but honestly, wedding gowns should be borrowed. Rent it and drop it back. And some suits too should be rented. If you want to wear shiny suit that you will not be able to wear again, you can't wear to interview. If you wear it to church, usher will put you in front as if you are the guest minister. You now go and borrow money and buy a suit. Don't let society. I'm saying this from my heart as a brother to you. I'm telling you. I've seen many people, the foundation of their problem in marriage started from that. I mean, I had a couple come in and their fight was, I told her we didn't need to do this thing. But she said, how will we do our wedding and this thing will not be there. And she insisted. I'm not saying she is the one that always insisted. That's not what I'm saying. She insisted. And they borrowed money and the whole thing went south. And it was just the beginning of the problem of the marriage. Don't copy society. Be open. Society will tell you, don't tell a man everything. Don't tell a woman everything. You have a problem with your body? Don't tell him. Let him commit first. You can tell him. The man now discovers that you have a problem with your health. That's deception. It's antichrist. It's the same thing for the man. Your ability to reproduce is fundamental in a woman marrying you. It's fundamental. You can let her decide if she's not going to have children. But you must have what it takes to have children. If you don't have it, tell her. I had something happen to me. I can't produce children. Tell her. Don't be deceiving her. Your friends will not be telling you. Don't tell her yet. Don't tell her. Let it be close to the wedding. Don't tell her yet. That's the world. That's the system. That's deception. Because she has been seeing both of you on campus. She thinks you are a student and you are not a student. Tell her. Tell her you are not a student, that you are just living on campus. Didn't you have it in your own school? There were people who were living in the hostel who were not students. I went to University of Lagos. We had a lot of them. They came to stay with their friends on campus. They were not students. But the guy sees them. The babe sees the guy. So the babe agrees. The guy comes to fellowship. But he's not a student. School has now finished. Let's go and look for a job. Actually, WAEC result me oda. WAEC. No, I'm not saying. I say, she class of degree, Woloni. Honestly. Mo fe se physics, ojo yen mo ko blank out ni. Please, let's be open. It's the system of the world. All this korokoro is the system of the world. It's not of God. And finally, this evening, you must have the knowledge of the devil. Because some people don't know that the devil works against everything that is of God. John 10:10 says he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Ephesians 4 verse 27 says, give no place to the devil. Give no place to the devil. It means that if you give him place, he will take it. 2 Corinthians 2:11, he says we are not ignorant of his devices. That's why James 4:7 says, resist the devil. Peter says to us in 1 Peter 5, verse 7 through to 9, he tells us about whom resist steadfast in faith. There's a devil that fights against everything that is of God. The devil fights marriages. Some people don't know. So they're fighting their husband, they're fighting their wife, not knowing that they should come together and fight the devil and defeat him based on what Christ has done for us on the cross. You must have that knowledge too. You must have that knowledge that Satan wants to disrupt what God has brought both of you together to do. Sometimes you sit on two people, glorious destiny, going somewhere to happen. Two people who love themselves, who love God, who are pursuing something massive for God. And then Satan comes in and they get distracted. Oh, he said, I married wrong. I shouldn't have married him. I shouldn't have married her. It's Satan that's making you think like that. You guys, you know you are good for each other. You know that relationship you are in is the relationship God wants you to be in. But Satan has brought all sorts of distractions. Don't give him place. Resist the devil. And he will flee. So you must have the knowledge that God is involved in marriage. You must have the knowledge of yourselves. Know yourselves. Find out things about yourself. You must know that the system of this world works contrary to what God wants to do. You must know what you are into. And finally, you must know that the devil wants to work against you. You know the beautiful thing about it? You can resist the devil. The Bible does not say he will walk away. It says he will flee from you. He will flee. That's what he will do. So when you and your spouse, if you are married, or you and the person that you are engaged to, under God to get married to, you just discover that you are always having problems, stay aside and rebuke that spirit. Rebuke it. You know, why are we quiet? Then you sit down sometimes, you are wondering, what is even the cause of the quarrel? You can't lay a hold of it. That devil is involved. Rebuke that devil. Some people have allowed the devil to mess them up and chase them away from who God has ordained for them. And I don't like what he said. What did he say, God? I can't really remember, but I don't like how he said it. I don't like how he said it. How can he be talking to me like that? We are not even married. What will happen when we now marry? The devil is whispering to you. You are collecting data from the devil. Don't just cut him off. Cut him off. Cut him off. Hallelujah. I want you to lift your hands to God tonight. Marriage is of God. And God wants every one of us to have a glorious marriage. So I want you to ask God tonight. Say, Father, I receive wisdom. Father, I receive wisdom to know what to do. Teach my hands, O God, the requisite things I need to know. Teach my heart, O God, the things that I need to be instructed in to be able to enjoy a wonderful marital destiny. Lord, I submit to you. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Father, I ask for someone under the sound of my voice who is trusting you for guidance. Bible says, my sheep hears my voice. Let your voice be clear to this person. We rebuke confusion. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask for clarity of purpose. In the name of Jesus. Any and everyone that Satan is tormenting in one way or the other concerning their marital destiny, we rebuke your activity, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Father, those that are married and are wondering why there is a lot of stagnation, we declare in this season, let there be speed. Amen. Let things begin to work. Amen. Let them work fast. Amen. And cause them to work well. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Everyone under the torment of fear about their marital destiny, we rebuke such spirit. Those clouds are lifted over your life in the name of Jesus. Everyone tormented by experiences of other people, experiences that they have seen growing up, we declare their release from it. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I speak joy to everybody's life. The joy that comes from God's presence. The Bible says, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Let their marital destiny experience joy. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise.
And God's people shout a big amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, please, you may be seated. I have maybe like 15 minutes, 20 minutes to take questions. I've not been married for long.
So let me say, a teachable spirit. What about those that are not teachable? There are some people that no matter what you say to them, they can't understand. Thank God for your home because you are able to get what's the message and you learn from it and you adjust. But some people are not teachable. What do we do about those? Say what?
All right, so when you say somebody is not teachable, we must have a holistic view of what you mean. You know, for instance, if you say to someone, it's assumed you married an adult. An adult probably who, for the purpose of this conversation, has sense. So you've told the person, I've told you, don't always cook late. Let's assume. So the person cooks late. Che, you don't always hear what, Abby? Somebody be telling you not to cook late. Is it that you don't hear things? Are you so stupid? Simple thing, don't cook late. And then you now say, this person is unteachable. You can't run down a person. You can't speak down on somebody and then you expect the person to give heed. That's why I started by saying the person is an adult, the person has sense. So the fact that you're trying to teach somebody, the way you teach the person is also important. What you say to somebody is very important. It's not just what you say, how you say it. So when we say somebody you are in a relationship with is unteachable, I assume you are in a relationship with somebody who is a child of God. I assume that as believers, you are in a relationship with a fellow believer. You are not married. So if the person is a child of God, Romans chapter 8 verse 9, the person has the Spirit of God. And if I've said it, I'm sure I said it when we met in Ibadan, one of the greatest scam of marriage relationship, the greatest scam by my own experience, is that I'll marry him like that, I'll marry her like that, I will change her. It's a scam. You can't change anybody. The most you can do is to create an environment that will help the person to change. I'm telling you that I will change this person. What you eventually do, you will create problems. And I like to always say, let's assume you got married at 25. You were 25, maybe the babe was 23. And you got married. Maybe you courted for 2 years. So you met her when she was 21, you were 23. The person has lived in a particular way for 21 years. Or 23 years. You now meet the person in 2 years. You want the person to be in a particular way. So you meet the person and you expect the person to all of a sudden unlearn 21 years in 2 years. Bros, you are wicked. It's wickedness. Or my sister, you are also wicked. It's a process. So when you say somebody is unteachable, that can sound absolute. All the factors and variables involved must be quite clear. How did you say it? What you are trying to change, is this something that the person just picked? Because if somebody has lived, I made the example of the pot. If somebody has lived a certain way for several years, and you marry the person, and in 1 year you are complaining, this woman doesn't hear what, this man doesn't hear what. So, being unteachable can be relative. How you say it is important. When you even say it is important. I mean, a woman may look somehow, a man may look somehow, and you say it when you guys are, maybe you are in a relationship with somebody now. Two of you are here. And we are talking about the need to be teachable. And maybe you've been having a challenge of that between yourselves. And as I'm talking now, you are now saying to her, can you hear? And somebody else is hearing you when you are saying, can you hear? Or you'll be saying, you want number one here. It's you they are talking to. How do you think that will make the person feel?
person will not like it. So you see, how you say it, when you say it, can determine whether the person is or not. But then, like I said, it can be very relative. I don't know if I was able to touch on it. Okay, somebody's raising their hand. Do you want to read this
question? Okay, let me just read three questions. Okay.
Thank you very much, sir. This was a critical thing for me before I got married. I said I wanted somebody who is teachable. One of the factors, characteristics I was looking at. But I had to learn what it means to be teachable. So I learned what you said. Then I also learned that somebody who is teachable is not somebody who you tell now and it changes now. So you call the person's attention to you, then you wait for the person to agree to what you said before the person change. Not that you tell him now and he must change now. Because when you do, he has told us that you are just creating more problems. So I learned that in finding somebody who is teachable, what you are saying is that, first of all, you are willing to be changed. Number two is that when you call attention to what should change, then you've got to give time for the change to happen. Thank you.
Okay. I'll take the three questions together. What steps should be taken when your parents disapprove of the person you love due to tribal differences? Sir, my question is, while in a relationship, can you be totally open about yourself to your fiance before marriage? The third one, how to identify the will of God?
All right, so let's start with how to identify the will of God. Now, I like to always say that if you have chosen not to submit yourself to learning from God and knowing what His will is for other areas of your life, you cannot do a crash program when you want to marry. Because some people will not, they live their life. When they now want to marry, they want some razzmatazz. My daughter, arise, go to the street called Straight. You will meet a man, he's straight. Just talk to him straight, and he will follow you straight. See, that's not how these things work. Eh? So, very importantly, you must cultivate a relationship with God, and you must identify how God speaks. I like to say this. As every child of God, read your Bible. Mark the word read. Read your Bible regularly. And why do I say that? When you read your Bible regularly, you understand how God talks generally. So that when somebody says something, you know, just like every one of us, you knew how your dad used to park. When you hear that park, you know, daddy today. When you hear a certain horn, you know. When you hear a particular, how did you know? You didn't bring it from heaven. It was over time. Over time, as you began to open up, you knew this is how daddy hunts. This is the first two things daddy says when he comes in. So in knowing the will of God, it's not about marriage, first of all. It's about you understanding that as a child of God, John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hears my voice. If you're a child of God, you have access to knowing the mind of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, what things know the heart of a man, save the spirit of man that is in him. He now goes further to begin to tell us that we have not received the spirit of the world from verse 12, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know. So the spirit of God that we have is a spirit that enables us to know what God wants us to do. But very importantly, Hebrews chapter 5 from verse 12, he says the fact that people who through a process of use have exercised themselves, when you regularly take those steps, things that seemingly, allow me to use the word, seemingly not so consequential to your destiny, take the step to find out what does God want me to do? Start learning it from that time. You can't allow all those periods to go and then you now want to marry, you want to know the will of God. A lot of things will happen to you at that time. You follow your feeling, you follow your mind, you follow people outside. So in knowing the will of God, first of all, you must cultivate a relationship with Him. Having been born again, cultivate a relationship. Know how. Some people say, God speaks to me through dreams. Whatever dreams you have, it has to align with what God's word says. Some people say, God speaks to me through people. Whatever people say, it must align with what God says. But what's the primary way God speaks to us? Inward witness. Inward witness. Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We can be led by the Spirit of God. It's an inward witness. It's not a shout. Except you are in Sound of Music where your father calls you with his whistle. Every one of us. You know, sometimes our mothers, they don't say anything, but you know what they're saying. If your mommy gives you a kind of eye, you know what it is. Now, how did you get there over time? So, as you stay in constant fellowship with God, you study God's word, take time to pray. Don't, and let me say this. Prayer is not just for getting things. Prayer is for cultivating relationship. Our prayer life should be an adventure, not a destination. Our prayer is not, I want to marry. Pray, get married. Our prayer is a journey into knowing God. The essence of prayer is devotion, primarily. It's devotion to God. Sucking into Him. Knowing Him. Enjoying the beauty of His presence. It's not primarily about getting things. So when we get in that point, you will know, listen, nobody here is a grandchild of God. Is there any grandchild of God? We are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Every one of us. And if you're a child of God, your father wants to speak to you. Your father wants to talk to you. Matthew 7 tells us. So how do I know the will of God? Especially in marriage, if you have cultivated a relationship with God and you pray about a person, a man or a woman, you take the person to God in the place of prayer, you are not saying, God, I want to marry this person. Put your stamp on it. God, just approve it so that, no, you go to God. You know, God knows the end from the beginning. God knows a fake. A sister was talking about praying and he liked the brother. He liked the brother. He said he liked the brother. And he went to God and began to pray. And every time she prayed, she would just sense. For instance, what's your shoe size, sir? 44. If you go to a shop and they give you a size 43 shoe, you would wear it. What will happen to you? You'll be squeezing your feet. What would that make you feel? Uncomfortable. How, even if you don't check the size, once you put your leg inside, what will make you not pick it? The feeling of being uncomfortable. A lot of times, when you are in fellowship with God, once you get into a mode that is not what your father wants, you feel a sense of uncomfortability. You sense it. Sometimes you may not even be able to explain it. So this sister couldn't just explain it. So she told the brother no. Few weeks down the line, he discovered the guy was gay. The guy was into boys, other boys. And just needed a relationship to cover up what he was doing. But he was in church. Imagine if she had followed him just because I like this guy. But the place where you first of all get to know it is in the place of fellowship. Listen, thank God for social media. We see, your fellowship with God cannot be secondary. This generation must not just be out there. I see people in worship. They are worshiping in church and what do they call those things? That selfie, and they post it at worship. If you have audience with the governor of Lagos State now, would you be doing selfie in his presence? You won't dare. But then we are in God's presence and we do such things. So how do you develop relationship and fellowship with that? So the primary platform for knowing the will of God is fellowship. And then you must understand the inward witness. God also speaks through his word. But your inward witness is the primary way a believer is spoken to by God. You will just sense in your heart. Sometimes some people say they hear an audible voice. It's all right. Some people say, God showed me a vision. It's okay. God does vision. I saw this person. It happens. But what it cuts across everybody is that you have a witness. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. It bears witness with our spirit. So that's how to know. So, of course, there are other things, but I want you to stay with this foundation. Once you have that foundation of fellowship, when somebody comes, confusion will be limited. You discover, oh, there's this person, he's born again, he has a good job, he has come from a good family. There's this person, he's born again, he has a good job, he's from a good family. What do I do? How do I know which of the will of God? Don't give your life assignment to somebody else. Go and pray. Some people are not waiting for some pastor. What is God saying? You too, what is God saying? That's all you know. If this person has some believer, this one is a believer. You know, it's easy to quickly say you marry a believer. But when the two of them, he has a good job, good family, good future, good everything, the two of them, who do I choose? God is the one that knows, man. God is the one that knows, sir. Everybody's experience may be different, but God is the one that knows. So you need to go to God, and he will speak to your heart, and you will be clear. Amen. I don't know if that helped you. Now, if my parents say no to somebody from another tribe, what do I do? If I'd come here 5, 7, 10 years ago, I'd say, ah, go ahead. Once God tells you to do it, just go ahead. I would have said that. But there are certain things I've learned in recent times that I will not say that. If your parents say you shouldn't marry somebody from a particular tribe, you must engage them. Know the reason why. Why don't they want you to marry? If it's just the bias, Igbo, you know, that's plain lousy. You know, so, I mean, I'm from Delta State. My wife from Ogun State. The day she told her mother she wanted to marry somebody from Delta State, the first thing her mother said is, Igbo. She said, he's not Igbo. He's from Delta. The mother said, hey, Konshe Yoba, Konshe Hausa, Igbo, Nijo. Igbo, you know Igbo. Yorubas want to, when they want to, Igbo. I say, Mola. I call it, Mola, Lasan, Lasan. You know, we can be derogatory. If the reason is all those kind of, you know, just basic, every tribe, and let me say to you, even the Igbos say so about the Yorubas. So we all have those, I mean, the Jews say so about other people. Everybody, Indians. So we all have that basic prejudice. But you see, if your parents are believers, your parents are God-fearing people, and they have come up with that kind of talk from a point of proper reflection and spiritual depth, I think you should give it some time to review. Take some more time to pray. If you have close friends who also know how to pick God's thoughts and God's mind, let them pray with you. Don't jettison it. Let me say to us, I've been married for a bit. Family is important. Because when the chips are down, we go back to family. So when you take what they say, your mother said, no, 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 mommy, times to change. Mommy, no, 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 no. Mommy, you don't know what's happening. Mommy, you're sounding a cake. This same mommy, she won't sleep. She can't sleep. This same daddy, he will stick out his neck in a good home. So my view is if you engage them, I mean, I had a young man who came to see me. He's from Kogi State. The baby's from the East. And when he told the father said, and the father is a pastor. The father said, no, you will not. And the father said, oh, experience. And he calmed down. He gave it some time. Picked up the conversation again. The father said, no. He was praying. And he gave it time. Of course, the babe was not finding it funny. Babe was irritated. Threatened to say she wasn't doing it again. And he gave it time and he engaged the father. Engage them constructively. Engage them spiritually. Having prayed. And they began to see reasons. And the atmosphere has changed. Because he knew this is who God wanted him to marry. So, my counsel, and I say this with every sense of responsibility, don't throw away what they said. I don't know the circumstances surrounding this particular one. But if they are just carnal people who are just saying that Igbos are not good. You know, some people just say Igbos are not good. I mean, they just make blanket statements. Igbos are not good. Edo people are terrible. Everybody from Delta is wicked. I mean, everybody from Delta cannot be wicked. Am I wicked? Do I look wicked? Have I acted wickedly? Are you from Delta? Are you wicked? Okay, I'm not from Delta. Is anybody from Delta here? Are you wicked? You see, that brother is not wicked. You can marry him. You know, so it can be. But honestly, when your parents are spiritual, please, don't call it, no, I'll do my thing. What's worse, they won't show up. Please don't do that. Don't do that. Engage them. Parents are not, they don't want your downfall now. Abi? relationship. So don't do that. Engage them, find out, pray, ask questions. And if they persistently refuse, give that relationship some space. My counsel. Give it some space until you get a more solid witness about it before you step in. I had my elder sister. My father didn't go for the wedding. My mother that went, they forced her. Her friends told her, "Abba, Abba, the picture. Come, my sister. The picture of the wedding that I saw. Come and stay here. Let's assume these are the couple. They want to take their picture. This is how my mother stood. Just to show everybody, I didn't come, they forced me. When I saw the picture, I was sad. My father was not there. He said he wasn't going to go. But you see, thank you guys. But the difference was just that because they believed he was God, eventually, that guy became our family's best in-law. I mean, when my mother would be singing the guy's praises. You see, so I've painted two scenarios to you. That's why I said, if you don't develop your relationship with God, if somebody tells you, go and marry the person, Jerry, mommy may align after all. If mommy doesn't align, that guy will just be telling, we are praying with you. You are the one that faces it. And sometimes some families are difficult. I've been pastoring for a bit now, and I've seen some marriages that I know that, you shouldn't have married into this family. And I can't say it to them, but that's the problem. Some of them, they don't have anybody. Family is important, I beg you. No matter how terrible your folks are, family is important. Very soon you have your own children. You will understand. You will understand. So when mommy says, Joe, wakes you up in the middle of the night and tell you, Joe, ma fe, Joe, to your law, ma fe. Don't just say, mommy, kini bo rubbish ten sheyi. Mommy, kini bo wele now. Let that not be your reaction. What comes around, you know it goes around. No, don't do that. Listen, let it push you more to prayer. Let it push you more to ask God, if you have told me to marry this person, what is all this? Lord, clear things for me. Lord, show me what to do. Father, speak to my heart. If you pray it in sincerity, God will bottom. So the last one is, should I be open? Well, I've always believed in full disclosure. But then my caveat to full disclosure, when you are caught in is, everything that is material to decision making in marriage must be made clear. The operative word is material. What is important that if this person knows, will this person continue? If what the person does not know is immaterial, and you may think sometimes the person you are into may not be able to handle it well at that time. But I'm a proponent of full disclosure. Like I've said in some of the meetings we've had, when I got married, one of the first things I did about my salary was to let her know everything. And the reason was simple. If I earn 100,000 naira, you know it's 100,000. Something cannot be doing you and be saying, we have a project of 120,000. But if you are doing like this, she can bring 120,000 and be saying, you must do it, you must do it. Because she thinks you have something somewhere that you can bring it out from. But when she knows it's 100,000, when she brings 120,000, you don't be laughing. Don't be laughing and be saying, my dear. And she asks, why are you laughing? It's because it's the money that we have that is laughing at the money you are bringing. So, if you are cutting and you know that if she knows, for instance, if she knows somebody has a child for you, she may say she doesn't want to marry you. Tell her. Let her decide. You can't say, at least I didn't marry that person. It was just some fling somewhere that produced the child. No. Some people may not be able to handle such a thing. Let it be her decision. Let it be his decision. So, full disclosure is to the extent to which there is materiality in decision making for the progress of the relationship. But once you are married, disclosure is 100%. So, what does that mean? It means that if, when we're courting, there are things that maybe I didn't remember, maybe I thought it was immaterial, and she brings it up, don't now say, I just don't need now. No. If she has brought it up, it's important to her. If he has brought it up, it's important to him. It's important to him. I mean, somebody comes up and he says, I married her. She told me this was her father. Only for us to discover that this was not really her father. He was her stepfather. He was someone. I was like, but did the man treat you anyhow? He said, no. So what if I said, no, I needed to know who her real father was. So the guy, that was important for the guy. You had to have told her, told him. Somebody else may think, give me a big deal. Maybe you met somebody. What is that? So it becomes a bit relative. But my own rule of thumb has always been, make a full disclosure. Let the person decide. With all this your baggage, will he marry you? Will she marry you? Rather than hide some things, and you know things will always come up. You know that's how this life is. Just something we just, one day, one wind we just blow. The thing will just raise his head. I know once you lie about it, you need to keep lying about it. And you know, one thing about lies is that after a while, it won't be consistent again. The whole thing will just come to the open. So save yourself a lot of heartache. Full disclosure is what I'm a proponent of. I don't know if that helps. All right. Thank you very much. God bless you. I appreciate your time.